The blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again, may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts, not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhamma. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma, I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
We are
here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What would you like to look at this morning?
Vicki? I was seeing a couple of things this morning, and probably they weren't brand new, but they just were received in a new way. And I don't know how this sort of came in, but I was out walking and this words came in, something along the lines of, I really should apologize to the person I live with because it must be very hard to live with me.
Mm.
And I thought, no, actually, that doesn't sound quite right. And then I thought, oh, what's more right is it must be really hard to live with my conditioning.
Mm. So you got some information this morning that was, it felt like it came in a new way. And that originally the message was, I should apologize to the person I live with because I'm very hard to live with. And then you saw that actually what was going on is that your conditioning is very hard to live with.
Right, and then I owned that projection and said, it's really hard to live with my conditioning.
It's really hard to live with your conditioning.
And I said, yeah, it is. And it must be hard for other people to live with my conditioning too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was nice to, it was nice to acknowledge that and get distance from it at the same
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm. So you could acknowledge that information that came in and also, it sounds like, not take it personally, mm-hmm. you'd have some distance from it.
Right. And the other thing that was, it was a little bit after that, not long after that, but I was listening to a song about coming to the edge, and I was thinking mm-hmm. about the edge, and the edge that I was looking at was coming up to the edge of that, just that I can't stand it place,
mm-hmm.
and that just, this is so awful, and just having a moment of seeing how it's right on the other side of that, if I stay with it,
mm-hmm.
that is the joy and the freedom mm-hmm. and the oneness, and the exact opposite of what it is I can't stand. But that my normal, well, but conditioning's way of wanting to deal with being at that edge is trying to fix it or
mm-hmm.
make it comfortable or make it go away or ignore it or deny it or anything but stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
When it's really staying with it that pushes me over the edge.
Mm-hmm. So just seeing when you come to that place, what you describe as the edge, where what arises is, I can't stand this anymore. Just seeing that actually on the other side of that edge, if you stay with it, is that peace and joy and don't remember if you said freedom, but, you know, what you're really seeking. And conditioning's way of usually handling that when you come to the edge is, you know, just how can I deal with this? What can I, how can I get away from this feeling? But just seeing what happens if you stay with it.
Yeah, and I think what happens when I stay with it is it's allowing myself to be in that vulnerable place where I'm not defended from life. Mm. And the other side of it where I'm trying to fix it and get away from it is that desire to be in control and have everything neatly lined up. And but just allowing that vulnerability allows that oneness. Mm. And it's both, it can be both an incredibly painful place to be in and an incredibly joyful place to be at the same time.
That vulnerable place can be, is that what you're referring to? It can be incredibly painful and also incredibly joyful at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was also seeing how it works the opposite way, too, how if I'm in that wonderful place of joy and freedom, that conditioning can just stick its little finger in there and suck me right back into suffering very easily, too, if I'm not watching for it. I mean, I can be sitting up on the top of a mountain with a 360-degree view of incredible beauty and just in awe of it all, and then have the words come in, well, you know, this is really scary. You could die up here and no one would ever know where you are, and, you know, they'd never find you, and, you know, and it's just, that edge is so fine sometimes.
Just seeing how fine that edge is and how it actually calls you to be present. So that if you're in that place of peace and joy, if you're not present there, how it's so easy for conditioning to just get a finger in there and just call you back into that place of suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how if I'm not present on the other side, if I'm not aware of that's one of those edge moments, how I will try to fix it up.
Fix it that way, too.
Yeah, so it really does advertise for presence at all times.
Presence at all times. Thank you. Alex.
I can relate to conditioning is very difficult to live with. So really, I think it's a t-shirt.
It's a t-shirt moment.
It is, yeah. I'm having a very sobering moment, it feels like, because it feels like I'm about to see something that would normally be, well, let's just say that a doorway has opened another one where I have a possibility, where there's a possibility to take that information that I saw and just accept it as the insight that it is, that it's informative, that everything that I believe is completely erroneous, and I should feel like there's an opening for gratitude and all of that. Like, wow, I'd never seen that before, and it's amazing that the same doorway that opens that possibility also opens that force that would come in through that door and take advantage of it. Make it mean something about me that, wow, I can't believe you believe that. I hear that you can't believe that I believe that. Thanks for believing that. And so it's a funny thing where I'm watching both tracks happen at the same time. It's like I just see, wow, this is great news. You know, this is really helpful information. And at the same time, I think it's the sickening dread part of that. It's like where it's creating these bodily sensations, it's trying to come in at all sorts of odd times and say stuff about how it is that I'm here, how I need to, because it's like, I hear on this side, like, okay, now you know this, here's the self-improvement program, mm-hmm. put yourself onto, and we're going to do this, this, mm-hmm. this, and this. There's no staying with it. If I take this track, there's the other track where it's just like, okay, all right, all I need to do is stay here mm-hmm. as much as possible. Mm-hmm.
It's sounding very similar to what was referred to in the last conversation, you know, a door open, you see all the possibilities, and then, you know, it's like you're at that edge where freedom, you know, just lies, just that, and then conditioning is there as well, trying to, you know, with the finger, trying to draw you back in, saying, oh, look at this, how, you know, yeah. how could you do this, and...
How did you think that you were doing, you know, you were, you know, the content of it is believing in a particular image of what it is, how it is that I am, and then seeing that that's, it's like, where did I get this idea?
So it tells you how could you believe that? How could you get that image of who you are?
Yeah, how could you believe that that was true about you?
How could you believe that that was true about you?
Yeah, like how, it's almost like a, you know, how dare you think that you are like this and you're not like that. You know, this other person is like this and probably like 20 times as much, you can't even imagine how that person can be like that, you know, and be, you know, it's just really amazing what it's attempting to do with that. And you know what, it's like, the place of gratitude and all that is that, I don't know if I've heard this before, but it feels true to me too, it's like, to stay closed, closes off any kind of possibility mm-hmm. too. It's like to try to close myself off from information that can mm-hmm. be like that. Mm-hmm. You know, to defend myself mm-hmm. against the self-hate that's possible if I see something mm-hmm. also closes off any possibility mm-hmm. too. So like the door opening feels like, well, that's what's necessary for the information to come through. And it's just a matter of directing my attention to what it is that I want to become. Mm-hmm. It almost feels like, and then just stay with it rather than having it pull off in all sorts of other directions. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm not supposed to see what's coming through. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to shut the door as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm.
So just seeing how
to myself in with that.
Would you repeat that last sentence?
To trap myself in with that.
To trap
yourself. I just saw that. It was like, to shut the door so that I'm trapped back into mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm.
So in that barricading or closing the door and not in an attempt to be safe, mm-hmm. you're actually barricading yourself in with that conditioning.
That is so true. It's like, that never happened. Anything to feel good, this is so yucky that just need to get away from it. And it's like either the self-improvement program is mm-hmm. kind of like optimistic and can get me away from the insight that I saw, mm-hmm. or it's the just the one bother, mm-hmm. the pressure that comes in from all of the you know, self-nutrition and all the energy. It's like those feel like the two options that it would present as solutions to the information that came through, like the way of dealing with it.
So you get the information with this insight when it maybe when insights arise in generally, there's two options, the self-improvement program or, you know, why bother?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why bother? Like the excuses that come in along with that, like, well, this person's like that because of, you know, all these reasons, and the reason why you're like this is because, and that, it's just like an entertaining little story that just follows along. Who misses the point of the information that seems to come through and shines a light on the spot.
Mm-hmm. Just really distracts from the information that has come in that really would open the door to possibilities and keeps you in this, those other, it sounds like smaller places. Why bother? Or let's fix this person. And
it's amazing. It just wants to move in some direction, like a fidget, you know, just to get away from it. It's very tempting to want to do something about this.
Very tempting.
No matter what, you know. It'll be interesting to see what happens, because this is relatively new. It's less than 24 hours. So it's just been a very exciting time to hear about. And it'd be interesting to see what happens.
So the door is open to a possibility of a very exciting time, and it's just really interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm going to record that. Thanks. I felt really good when I heard you say that. Thank you.
Thanks. Arlene.
I'm facing two fears I've had since I've been in the Sangha since 1984. One is feeling that I take up too much time when I speak. And I heard through and feel frustrated afterwards. And also feeling judged by what I'm going to say.
Today's the day to face two of your fears.
Yes.
That you take too long when you speak, mm-hmm. and that. What's the second one that you don't?
Well, that I just kind of cut it off when I feel it.
Oh, you rush through.
Or edit myself for what I might mm-hmm. be saying. So, mm-hmm. And since I will be moving out of the area, but never be away from this group, but I guess today is the day, and I try to face that. So sit back, I may have a Wednesday. I really haven't planned what I was going to say. I just wanted to be here today. But when I started, we started down from the gate on the road, I just saw the metaphor of that road being a real life, story of life. It just bumps and bumps. And when the bump is coming, and the bumps have gotten much deeper since I was here last time, and you're going around a curve, and you're not sure what's ahead. And you don't know where it's going to end. At least the first time, you didn't know where it was going to end. But that's what it just seemed to speak to. And then you get to the monastery here, and then everything looks level and bright and good. And then you go down the road a bit farther, some more bumps, and then there's the end of the road. And that's kind of where I went with my practice since I've been coming here. And there was a point where I got out of the car, not out of the practice by any means, but and took the footpath. Mm-hmm. And that was, maybe needs a little explanation. It was about the time where things really started to get busy around here, and there was a lot of just fundraising and things like that. And I had to look at that in my life because that was the karma I was working with. There's lots of guidance through the years, but I couldn't seem to get rid of the feeling that I had to do something about things or work for things and responsibility. And I already had two big things in my life, taking care of a refugee family and trying to start and maintain a nature library. Up here through the library system. And I just kind of had to really look at that. Like, how much can I do? And I went through all the practice, you know, all my questions of, well, maybe this is where you're supposed to be looking. Maybe you shouldn't. You know, this is where you have to face it all. But I made the choice that I would not get so involved with what the Sangha was doing at that time, but go on in my life and with what I was doing and work with the karma in that way.
So as you were just coming into the monastery this morning, just seeing the metaphor that the road represented for you of your life, and it sounds like your relationship with practice, you know, just facing the bumps, and, you know, there's some smooth parts, and then there's some more bumpy parts, and, you know, coming to the end of the road and realizing that, you know, at one point in your journey, you actually... it sounds like, you know, veered a little bit off the road and took a little footpath while you were considering your involvement in practice and where it fit in your life.
Yeah, it was more than a little detour. It just kind of, it's become what I've done, always checking in, coming back, never being away from the practice, which I think is what I enjoy sharing this morning, because live by the precepts every day. My husband and I meditate every day at 5:30. The skill of facilitation that we learned here and did so often absolutely enhanced our marriage just so much. So it was always with us, but I just wasn't coming back there as much and being involved. That's been all right. I'm not saying at all, you know, that I didn't miss the sangha, that it wasn't. But it was just what I did it my own way, and someone said to me, well, I think that's what Sherry wanted. She wants you to be able to come and take the teachings and take what you've learned and be able to apply it, you know, to your life. And that's what I feel like I've been doing, and now facing a whole new life up in Oregon where we're going, I've been very aware of the practice, even more because there's the fear, it's terrifying, it's exciting, but right away it was all the help I had picked up here, all the teachings are there for me and to work with. So I guess I'm really just wanting to say again, express my gratitude and love for this place ever since I came in 84 and plopped down on a cushion incorrectly back in that little hut down there. Didn't know anything what was going on. I just knew it, that I'd come home, and that's the way it always felt here. And I'm sure I'll be back again from time to time, but I wanted to share that. I don't know how long that took, but I feel like I've said what I wanted to say.
So the monastery's always felt like home, and that you're just acknowledging the tools that you've gained in practice and how they've really enhanced your life. Mm-hmm. And now you're facing this new adventure of moving away to a place distant from the monastery and knowing that you're going to take the tools of the practice with you, and just feeling the gratitude for that.
Mm-hmm. And this place is, I said this is my spiritual home on one of those many exercises and many workshops I went to, and I said, yes, that is. That's often what I picture when I'm in the dentist chair. It's the gauntlets, I know every path I go around here, and yeah, it's very much in my heart.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Jill.
I just feel like I'm seeing a lot about how a conditioned mind makes me suffer. And over, like, you know, where do I cut a peach, you know, in the dining hall? Like, it's especially through this last retreat, I started to notice that, like, every decision that I was making felt really confusing. Mm-hmm. Like, where to sit was confusing, what to eat was confusing, where to stand. So I was like, I'm gonna look at this. Like, where is this confusion coming from? And I just saw this whole structure, you know, this thing about, like, how to be helpful versus how to get my needs met. And, like, because, you know, the heat was sort of turned up,
Literally.
Literally. you know, I had less time to myself, so it's like, how do I get my needs met? And, you know, I want to eat this peach, but there's no room to cut it anywhere. Like, where, you know. And just how often I would go to conditioned mind for the answer.
Mm-hmm. So just watching how often you go to conditioned mind for the answer and having plenty of opportunity to see that happening during the retreat that we just came through. And that, just seeing how it comes up with how do you take care of this person, how does she get her needs met, and it sounds like a lot of questioning about, you know, what's the right thing to do in the circumstance, and is it turning to conditioned mind then to try and get the answer to that? Or?
Well, I feel like, you know, with the, so how to be helpful became sort of like the thing that I felt the monastery wanted and I wanted, but then there are these things that I need which sometimes don't fit in with being helpful. Mm-hmm. And so what I kept seeing was a conditioned mind, well, I'm like seeking the place where both of those things are true. Mm. And then when I couldn't find that place, I felt like I had to choose one or the other. And mm-hmm. so that was like my whole experience. Mm-hmm. And it feels like my whole experience since I've been here, I'm in this like paradigm of beliefs and assumptions of that the monastery and being helpful are these things, what I need are these things, so let's find where they both fit. Mm-hmm. But when, you know, we're, there's less time and, you know, things are moving faster, you know, I'm looking to conditioned mind, okay, I'm gonna, and I kept sitting in the same place over and over again, and I kept, you know, doing these things, watching myself do them, and like, why are you doing this? Why are you sitting in the pantry, you know, to eat dinner? It's like, I just felt like it was really the tail that wagged me. And versus like just, I don't know, just taking the time to look to what arose and where to go with that. Yeah, it's been... this past like couple of days, all of this stuff has dropped in about, you know, beliefs and assumptions about the monastery, beliefs and assumptions about what I need, and just the collision of those things, and how much it is controlling me.
Just seeing how much it or conditioning is controlling you, and it sounds like you've been exploring, you know, trying to find that place that I think we refer to as what's most compassionate for mm-hmm. all, and. You know, just noticing how it sounds like maybe even a sense of maybe a little bit of urgency arises. It feels like there's not the time to find that mm-hmm. place, and how you just find yourself being wagged. Mm-hmm. Let's see, how does that go? Wagged by the tail instead of and seeing it that is letting conditioning make the choices rather than.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you, it's great to hear that in the part two about time. Like, I think that was really the factor that conditioning or something was coming in about this is like, we don't have time to go to the heart for this mm-hmm. information. Mm-hmm. Because we've already, and it just became this huge math thing. It's like, you know, this and this, like I'm just within this calculation. Mm-hmm. You know, strategizing. You know, and I felt myself do that this morning at breakfast, which just, you know, I loved what I heard already about, you know, seeing yourself in conditioned mind and trying to just be like, okay, this is, you know, I'm here, I'm watching this happen. I don't have to stop it. I don't have to change it. It doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. You know, just saying thank you and, you know, loving myself. And that's what I really got. And from what I heard already here is like that's because it's so overwhelming to see all this stuff. Like I just keep seeing like and like these huge pieces and it's like what do I do? Write them down, record them, like what you know, like map them, like you know, change. Like I don't want to like do these things or be controlled in this way. But I don't have to do any of that. Just stop it. You know, and keep seeing and keep practicing.
So you can see that it's not, it doesn't have to open the door to a self-improvement program, and that you can just actually keep loving yourself and just, you know, be with what is arising and find that place to be with the heart, even when you're hearing that you don't have enough time to do that.
Because I know that somebody wants to, you know, that's why I'm here. Mm-hmm. And I do this practice. I mean, somebody really wants that. And so just helping her do that.
Just being with her to help her do that, help her be with her heart.
Even when the curtain is opened and I see all the mechanism and I'm just I can't believe it's working this way. But it's very exciting.
Thank you. Mary?
I've been looking at change and my reactions to it. Just how I'm caught up in judging change. Up until last week, I was in a hermitage, and then I was asked to move out of it. And then yesterday I got a note that said, well, at that time I was like, I don't want to move. I like this place. It's very comfortable. I know where everything is. I don't want to move, right? So a little grumpy about moving. And then yesterday I got a note that said, yeah, I can move back to that place. I'm like, I don't want to move this place. I don't want to move back there, right? And so, you know, what I'm looking at is how, you know, the story is talking about all the good things about where I am currently and all the bad things about, you know, the place, you know, the change part. And then there's another part that when I don't change it, I get beat up for staying in, you know, especially with jobs. You know, I get beat up for staying in a job too long, right? Because I should have changed jobs, you know, whatever. So there's, just seeing that and how it's a story that I got caught up in.
Just seeing how you get caught up in the story and the content is change, you know, that... And it sounds like you're describing a situation where any movement is not going to be the right movement. You know, it's like the change is not welcome. You hear a lot about how that you don't want to do that, how, you know, you like where you are. But then on the other hand, if there is no change, you also hear a lot about how, you know,
right.
how bad that is to not
right.
to not change.
And somehow I connected it to, I don't know, at one point we were picking out tiles for our bathroom, and I remember being overwhelmed by that choice, you know, because if you go into a tile store, there's you know, there's an amazing wealth of things to choose from, and I had narrowed it down to a handful of choices, and I just couldn't, you know, I just couldn't pick one, and finally I realized they're all okay, and so I just picked one, and it's great, right? But something about that, something about that, there's one single right choice that I have to figure it out. And then the story around what's good and what's bad, it's really a setup.
So seeing that there's that one right choice and I have to figure that out, what a setup that is.
Right. Right. So that's fantastic.
Jen?
So many new ways to relate to the discussion this morning. First, I just thought last thing was that I heard a while back, I don't even remember what it was, but somewhere or something, talking about there are kind of two kinds of shoppers. The person who shops until they find something that meets what they're looking for and then they buy it. Mm-hmm. And then the person who shops for all the options and then decides which one. So I was like, wow, I am so lost in two. So, you know, I find the thing that would work, but, I mean, this is a big store. There could be lots of vendors that fit that description.
Uh-huh.
They could be better than this one, for some reason. And so finding them all, and then doing that, that was so good. And I think that was right. Well, you know, it was funny. I just saw it is that it was so fun to see that, to have that mirror, like, oh, there's these two kinds of chakras, and see that I'm this, you know, this kind. And just how that points at, it's just the awareness that's freeing. Mm-hmm. Not even really anything to do about it, but just somehow seeing that. Mm-hmm. It's always fun for me to see people do things differently than I do them. Because it makes it, you know, I just see how I'm doing it. Otherwise, it just feels like how it is.
Huh. So it's the awareness that's freeing. And up until that you have that awareness that there's maybe other ways to do things, it's just, for you, it's just how you do it, and it's how it is.
Yeah.
And then there's that freeing awareness of, oh, there's other possibilities. And
yeah. Yeah. So jumping back to some of the earlier discussion, I saw something really interesting. So I have this big spiritual opportunity, just kind of the blue. Completely didn't expect it, took me by surprise. And so there was something said earlier about, you know, there's a part of me that just wants to go on like that never happened. And it's funny because I was having a not what the hell moment, just as if we just finished, in the sense that I had that same thing arise for me, only from a completely, feels like, different place, in the sense, Sherry talks about this image of, you know, going out to a dinner party and having this great time, really fun, da-da-da-da, and then getting home and looking in the mirror, and there's a big piece of spinach, and just taking it out and go, no, it wasn't. And that was sort of how I've been practicing with this, and seeing how there's a way in which something is so skillful. Because in that, in a way, it didn't happen. Because there was no I there for it to happen to. And that feels like the only suffering in it is that happened to me. And I don't like that. And that was, you know, embarrassing. Or that was whatever, all the things. But it wasn't. In a way, it didn't happen. Because this was really my experience in the retreat that I was seeing more and more and more, is that, you know, this is truly a place where there are no words for it, but I don't want to be here. You know, I don't want an I to be living this life. And so I just found myself in a place of enormous gratitude for the thing, because the sensations were in hands, kind of like what Dave talked about earlier, you know, condition my mind to reintroduce it here, and don't forget, and here let's replay, and that's, and watching how all that is just recreating the eye, pulling the pieces back together, and what, you know, again, for lack of a better way to express it, what I actually want is just to be here and experience each thing and belong to the next thing.
So, what this being wants is actually just to be here, experience life, go on to each thing, and just seeing how when spiritual opportunities arise, or, you know, quote, hard situations, that actually what causes the suffering is when there's the I there to have that experience, and the I there that receives all this information, it sounds like, from conditioning, that how, you know, that was embarrassing and unskillful.
The I that something happened to.
And it almost is like, you know, like you used removing the spinach from your tooth when you get home after the dinner party and say, well, that was never there. Yeah. It's almost that same experience when you have this hard information and you just realize that happened to really wasn't there.
Yeah. And in this case, it's really obvious that that's the thing to do, because the only information in big group schools is coming from conditioned mind.
The only.
Its assessment of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. That's a dangerous place.
That's interesting. So really, the only information you're getting about this situation is what's coming in through conditioned mind, and what a dangerous place it is to turn to that information.
And, you know, in fact, the other thing I've been channeling Thomas Edison, one of my favorite heroes, actually, only for that one quote, I don't really know. I do know he shares my birthday. So the quote of his that I love so much is that thing where his foreman brings in the comes and says, "My God, you know, we're trying to figure out the filament for the light bulb, and this is nothing's working. You know, we've done 1,000 experiments and nothing's working. We should just give up." And he says, "Nonsense. You know, we have 1,000 ways in which it doesn't work." And I just saw how, in that, no, it didn't. That didn't happen. If I just discovered one more way it doesn't work, mm-hmm. that information will just come through insight as I go forward. Mm-hmm. It's not going to come from, oh God, what? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I'm never going to get that information. Mike won't have access to me. He gives me that information.
What was that last sentence you just said? Light bulb?
The light, sorry. Life won't have access to me.
Well,
so if there is information from life about how, okay, got it, right, that's another way, because this is a thing that I really want to do. It's something I really want to do, and so I feel like, okay, and I'd love to be able to do it well and be successful at it, so chances are good, I'm going to find a lot of ways along the way that it doesn't work. And if this was one more of them, and there's information for me in that, I don't want to look to life.
Right.
I really don't want to look to conditioned mind.
Yeah. So life does not have access to you when you're turning to conditioned mind and as you go forward, you know, and you want to be open to life and what life presents. And just like Thomas Edison, you know, it's like, you know, it's not, if something doesn't work, that's not the occasion to like give it up and say, well, you know, yeah. Gosh, this didn't work, we'll just give up.
Yeah.
And it's nonsense.
Yeah.
We know how it doesn't work.
Exactly. And we need to know that.
Yeah, need to know that.
Yeah. And just, sorry, one more quick thing about it that I saw when you were reflecting that was how essential it is to bring that attitude of mind to it. Because otherwise, so if it's a project that I really want to do, otherwise, you know, these little parts of me are going to get traumatized and really not want to do this thing.
Yeah.
And because I want to do it, it feels like it's my responsibility to be the grown-up, to be willing to do it and make, quote, mistakes and not put little people in situations that are just not fair for them to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so going for it and in the process, you know, not allowing these little parts, young parts, to be traumatized in the process. It's, yeah, and you know, what have you gained if that's the price you pay for, you know, going forward to what the I thinks it wants to do? Penny?
That's been extraordinary. Just to light on that, for me, that whole thing about a tree falls in the forest and nobody hears it, doesn't make a sound. Well, no, apparently. I just made that connection, and it launched me off into something that sounds heavy, but it's just a lot of things. I just finished this interesting book on Buddha by Deepak Chopra, and there's a place in it where Buddha comes back. He becomes Buddha and he comes back to his followers. And he has a history with his followers. And so some of the followers say something about things sort of paying off debts of what we owe one another. And Buddha says, when there's no past, there are no debts.
Yeah. When there's no past, there are no debts.
Yeah, when there's no past, there are no debts. And it feels like the same thing. It's like watching something evaporate and getting it that was never there. And it feels like the invitation to live in the present moment is that invitation, you know? Really all there is the present moment, but really there is no past. All that construction that I have believed in isn't there and probably never was. I just find that kind of, and that's one of those things I sort of, you know, inside there's this kind of gasp. When I sort of get that periodically.
So you feel this gasp inside when you periodically get that just being present is like letting all of those constructs and all those past experiences sort of just evaporate.
Yeah. Yeah, because they aren't here.
They're not here.
And just to connect to the internet, I see this seems to be a theme. We've been watching this kind of British soap opera DVDs, and I just got totally, one of those things, I got totally caught up in it, you know, it was like, and then it was like, oh, what am I going to do with these people, you know, and thinking about all their relationships and stuff, and because part of me was just watching this process of, my God, what is going on? But it just, and what I realized was that what I was doing is what in the drama they're doing, they're just constructing this world. Mm-hmm. And total invention. Mm-hmm. Invention upon invention. It's a fictional story about people who are doing this, you know? So the person often invents them, and they invent the story that I invent in the relationship. And it was just funny to watch. And then at one point I was just sort of looking at this one character. One of the things I'm observing from the standpoint of practice is how the characters are so constructed by their own stories, and how they are so faithful to their stories, even when they're really destructive, and very dramatic. And I just have one of those moments of getting it that without the story, they simply cease to exist as characters. Huh. You know?
Yeah.
They cease to be those eyes that are those people with those pasts and those stories. And it was just, periodically I just get it, that it's really all just invented.
So just seeing in that British soap opera, another example of what you were referring to earlier, of just being present, how all those past constructs evaporate, and how those characters in the soap opera, watching yourself get even caught up in their stories, and you know, just how if those characters, all of that drama were just to evaporate, that they would cease to exist.
As those people.
As those people.
Yeah, as those people that I think they are. So anyway, it's just all pretty, all that somehow hinges together.
Camera.
This has all been so, another one of those Sunday one mind kind of experiences, but I was just really relating to the stories about the door opening and bringing in possibility and despair at the same time, or something like that. And also the one about finding out one more time what doesn't work.
Uh-huh.
That feels like the experience I'm having over and over and over, I am having, is no, that isn't it. No, that isn't it. And an image that came up as I was, it's like I'm sitting in a place now, like life is a complete koan. You know, it's like, that isn't it? Nope, 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 nope. Okay, then what? What is? You know? And this image came up. My mentor suggested it, and it just seems like it's a physical vision of the experience, and that is, how you have two magnets?
Yes.
Okay, and you put the positive and the negative together, they go whoop, and they connect. So that's what this being feels like she wants to do with life. Whoop, connect with life. Mm-hmm. Be a part of life, and in sync with life. And her experience is like she's putting her negative with the negative. The closer she feels like she's getting to life, the more she gets pushed. It's like this physical energy of no, no. And she keeps, for some reason, she keeps trying to put that magnet up there, and she keeps putting the same wrong end. And that's the koan that's being... that exists right now. And it's kind of like, okay, I give. Whatever I'm doing isn't it. But what is it that I should be doing? You know, obviously it's be present, but and at any given moment, what does that look like? How does that, because it's feeling like, it's relating within a situation, I don't know, anyway. Mm-hmm. That's that's where the being is now, sitting in, I give up, I need to give up on I or something, you know. It's just whatever methods of living life that this person has been employing just don't work. So, okay, scrap it all. Let's start from scratch. We know a lot of things that don't work. We're not sure what does or how that looks in given situations. And the willingness to just, you know, have spinach on my teeth until I figure out how not to.
So just really having this experience of living in this con lately of like, you know, I've been given a gazillion ways that sound, you describe that it doesn't work. And, you know, there's this person that was just questioning, well, what does work? What is it? And to just have, it sounds like in a place of just sort of like surrendering, mm-hmm. You know the feeling that you want of just having that connection with life mm-hmm. that feels like two magnets just of opposite polarities connecting and, mm-hmm. and I think I'll know that feeling of just you know how they just snapping together
yeah
and what you describe is that opposite of the two mm-hmm. same polarities just you know be pushing against each other mm-hmm. and just living right now in the question of how do I get that that snapping together, that connection with life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think that's the version of the question that's the problem. How do I get that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I know the experience. Mm-hmm. And the experience is not that I get it. The mm-hmm. experience is that I get out of the way and there it is. And so I know one of the things that doesn't work is to look outside of myself and to try and ascertain what is expected of me by life. Mm-hmm. That is a method that this being has employed, mm-hmm. and it's becoming quite clear that's one of those thousand ways, thousand times I've tried that, but it doesn't work. So there's someplace else to look besides outside myself. Mm-hmm.
That's really good to know that you're getting that information strong and clear. There's someplace else to look than outside of yourself. And that is something that you've employed over and over again. It's uh-huh. one of those 1,001 ways you found that doesn't work.
Yeah. So, and I really relate to several people have said that it's a very exciting place to be. Mm-hmm. It's really exciting and exhilarating to be at a place where, okay, I don't know. And it's also kind of scary and mm-hmm. kind of sometimes really depressing. mm-hmm. You know, where is the magic opening? You know, like mm-hmm. you lean against the bookcase and woo, you fly in. So it's the it's just like it's a cool place.
Mm-hmm. So we'll come back to that place of being at the edge, you know.
The edge, yeah, that was really good, yeah.
Yeah, where to from here? This is scary, this is exhilarating, this is, you know.
Yeah, where to, how to.
How to.
Yeah.
Mary Jane.
Well, I kept going to conditioning about whether to speak and what to say, and then I was like, well, let's just see. But I just like to experiment with, okay, what shows up with the heart and just being here. And first of all, just really grateful that this being keeps showing up.
Just gratitude for that the being keeps showing up.
Yeah. And I think there's some part that's really afraid of life beyond the monastery. yesterday there was a part that was ready to go home, but we've been here, for those on the DPT, we've been here for 3 weeks. This is the last Sunday group, for instance, that I'll be doing at least, or just being what we're doing here in the month of July. But, and yeah, just noticing that little trepidation in a scared way, but also in a heart kind of way, like, wow, okay. Let's see, you know, let's explore this path we've been on for years, which it just intensified this month, and then let's just explore it beyond here.
So just feeling this call to, there's somebody that's aware that her time at the monastery is coming to an end, and it sounds like, you know, different feelings arise with that. And then also coming back to the place of honoring the heart. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like maybe a little bit of excitement about, well, you know, let's see where this goes. And taking that living in the heart with you as you leave the monastery.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's some part that wants to have the guest master available after July. Like, you know, someone I can need to, if I need to, I can post a note, get a little assistance. So, I guess just having faith that you know, there's a lot of support. We're in Sangha, wherever we are. And, offer that to myself, even the possibility. Because those things that, you know, you get caught up in sometimes, it's nice to just put it aside.
So you're beginning the process of looking at how to support this person in her practice.
Yeah. I really want to support this being and staying here, you know, especially because it's amazing. Every time I get into some story, and then it's like, okay, what's that about? And then every time I record the mentor just says, it's just trying to distract you from this moment. Like, we don't have to go into it, you know, and analyze it. We can just come back here and be with life, you know, be with what's here right now. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like you are actually aware of and use a tool that sounds like a very big support for you, and how the mentor reminds you to just come back here to the present. You don't need to get caught up in that story.
Yeah. And I think, you know, hearing people talking about the past doesn't exist, like, I see some part wanting to hold on to this month, like, okay, every day I'm home, I'll listen to the recording on August 1st that I did July 1st, and, you know, I'll do this exercise on this day, and it's like, that's all in you. You've had that experience, so that, you don't have to recreate it. You are actually living that experience in this being right now. Mm.
Sounds a little bit like what was just referred to, you know, it's like going in inside for the experience. And carrying that with you, rather than feeling that you have to have a whole setup around you, the external to go to.
Yeah, and just in case this is helpful anyway, I know for me, I mean, this poem, you know, let yourself be silently drawn by what you truly, the strange pull of what you truly love, that movie. It's just like, that just really calms the system and helps.
Thank you.
I was thinking about how much I appreciated the exercise on the not what but how of seeing everything that comes out of conditioned mind, all the information as projections. And I find myself, like, if somebody in group says conditioning is telling me this, and I'm like, oh, how could that be a projection? Like, it seems like a really powerful tool, like, to just turn it on its head.
And my favorite, we had to do like a top 10 list and then, you know, turn them around. And my favorite one is, sooner or later, everyone will find out that conditioned mind is insane.
So that was your top 10 in the projection exercise, that sooner or later, everyone will find out that conditioning is insane.
Yeah, well, that was my favorite.
That was your favorite. That was your personal favorite.
Yeah. Because conditioned mind has wanted to kind of keep me separate from life by telling me that I'm insane. you know, and I can sit here and laugh, but there were times when, you know, people with big degrees on the wall behind them were telling me the same thing. And it's just so, it's so interesting to see how over the, so I think I've been in this practice for like 11 years. And I found the practice before that through Sherry's book, The Depression Book. But anyhow, those, you know, that story was just really strong.
That story about
that I'm insane.
I'm insane.
Yeah. And so I just saw on this retreat how the power of it is just gone. Mm. It's just gone. Mm.
So just seeing how the power of a, it sounds like a big story,
yeah,
that a big story, and that it had a ran your life, it sounds like, in a lot of ways. And that power, it's just gone.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing that I love too is how is like, you know, conditioning might go to, you know, now I just see the whole, I just see the whole thing as like one, like my small story, and then the story of the system, the mental health system, you know, their stories, and then the pharmaceutical companies, and there's like this huge story spinning out into space, you know. And it, you know, and I lost where I was going with that, but it got so huge.
The story just spun out into space.
Yeah, so I just, it just doesn't, it just, there's just no pull there anymore.
Oh,
I know where I was getting with it, was that every little step that I took away from this story is clearly true, to where I am now of like, the story is totally made up. Every little step that I took, I had to believe it for myself before I could move away.
So every little step that you took away from the story that you were describing this morning, you had to believe that that next step was true? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. It was a process of dropping, like, belief after belief after belief, you know, like this huge structure that was built. And
so in order to drop that belief, you needed to see that it wasn't true, or that it was.
Well, it had to be inside, like, it had to be inside me. Like, inside me, I needed to see, oh, maybe not. You know, is that so? You know,
so
just
questioning the beliefs.
Yeah, and through the practice, and so conditioning might now go to like, you know, it can't get me to believe that I'm insane anymore, and so it can turn the tables and say, well, God, you know, that, duh, you know, look how long it took you to figure this out, but. It's like that process has been such a complete transformation of the being that I would not I would not go back and hurry anything about it. Like nothing. I don't.
It reminds me of that saying of just being able to stand in gratitude for everything that came before that brought you to this point, and not wanting to change out any of it.
Yeah.
That's our time.